you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Funk Friday, final hour for us. Ooh. I will mention again, if you know of a back-to-school event going on this weekend, if whether it's, you know, they're giving out school supplies, backpacks, haircuts like the one we talked about. There's a lot of cool stuff going on around town to get kids that need the help ready for back-to-school over the next week or so. Let us know about it. We'll give it a shout-out in the final hour of the show. Smoking Joe Patrick will join us in 15 minutes. We'll talk some Falcons with him as training camp got underway yesterday. AMA coming up at 1:40, as always. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes.
I didn't realize they, you know, because it's always it's training camp year. Buffalo's, isn't it Buffalo this year doing Hard Knocks?
I think so. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. I could remember because I was like, damn, it's training camp. Hard Knocks is about that time to get into all that. But I was like thinking about it because I was like, is Buffalo interesting?
I think they're good.
They're
but
good.
Yeah.
Like Coleman, because remember we talked about Boak played the clip of Coleman. So I was like, he's going to be the star. He's going to be the star of Hard Knocks. Keon
right.
Coleman.
That's
he's going to be the star of that show because he is silly as hell.
Yeah. He's going to probably make a lot of money off that.
Yes.
Like, because he's just so funny.
Yes.
And people are going to get to know him better than they already do. He's going to have all those little viral clips because
yes.
he's good for some stuff like that.
Yeah.
I read a thing this morning about Buffalo. I didn't realize Vince Carter was one of their like minority owners.
Oh, is he?
He's involved, and also he's like, yeah, and I want some say. he's like, I sat down with the coach, the GM, the owner, all that. I want to be involved.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Put the brakes there.
That sounds good. Now, who would? Because I'm trying. Because yesterday when we were out at Flower Branch, obviously we talked to Rob, but later on we were packing up to go,
uh-huh.
and Rob and Terry,
yep.
and who was? I don't know who the gentleman that was with them, but they were like, that's the money man right there. I was like, they ain't Arthur.
yeah, I know what Arthur Blank
I know
looks
what
like.
Arthur
that's
is.
Not him.
That's not him. Now, he must be a guy that's a big contributor or one of Arthur's boys. But that was pretty funny
Hang
yesterday.
On here. Let me Google this
getting
real
to see,
quick.
Getting to see Ron, obviously getting to talk to Terry yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm an owner, I want some.
Was it Greg Beatles, maybe?
I couldn't tell you. No.
I think it was.
It was Greg Beatles?
I think so.
Okay, and he's
He's the president
okay.
of football operations.
Oh, so that's what they were talking about. Okay. He might not have said money man. He might have said boss man.
I think so. Look at that picture right there. Is that who that was? I think it was. He had a beard. Kind of like that. Yeah, it was Greg. It was Greg Beatles.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I don't think I had ever seen Greg Beatles in. Oh, dang, Randy.
Just fell off my damn chair.
So excited to meet Greg Beatles. Randy almost fell down.
I fell off my chair and cussed. Okay, so yeah, that was it. So he said the boss man. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right. But yeah, it was good to see Terry yesterday. But yeah, if I got 1%,
I need a meeting.
Yeah, I need a. Hey, I'm going to be sitting down at somebody's table. Hey. Yeah, I was just thinking about some stuff because, you know, I was watching tape. And I was under the assumption that we were going to have to go out this other defensive end, not him.
I was thinking we need to run a little bit more 12 personnel
this year. What time is the personnel meeting? Yeah, dog, I want to be, 1%?
1% gets you a meeting with.
At 1% of what now?
Say you're like a 1% stakeholder in the team. You own 1% of the Atlanta Falcons.
You might get
a meeting with.
The guy who owns the tickets? The guy who manages the tickets?
Yeah, somebody like that.
Like 1% ain't going to get you to meet the owner.
No, you're not. I mean, maybe. You get like big events,
yeah.
but you don't get a one-on-one.
Yeah. No, you know what?
You don't get saved.
If you think about that 1%.
I guess 1% of an NFL team is
a lot of money. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, you might get to hang out with Arthur for a second.
Yeah, but you don't get like that scheduled one-on-one.
No, ideas. You just can't go over there.
Yeah, you don't get
You just can't, like, you don't get.
You like, got to have 10% to like, get like an ideas.
You don't got no key card to the building.
You don't think so?
Nah.
For one, I think
1%,
so.
1%, you think?
They give us a passcode.
To get in, right?
Yeah.
But we're working.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you get a key card for
1%. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
but you don't get to go onto the top
floor. Hold on, but that keypad or whatever we got just for the area where you guys hang out at.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I just I visit. Y'all hang out there. You know, I'm just lucky that y'all have the key code to let me in. I don't even memorize code because I don't want to be stereotyped.
You don't want to get too close to
media. I don't want to get stereotyped. So if I get locked out, I'm just going to sit out there. because I ain't going to ask for the code to the thing. If you ever notice, I knock every time.
Where's Randy? He refuses to come in.
Yeah.
He thinks that it would be too close to being a member of the media, so he's not doing the show today.
I'm going to knock on the door until somebody comes and lets me in. But no, he might.
He's a very stubborn man. He might come in here.
He might. Like,
he took that free water, though.
Yeah.
That free media water.
Boy, I'm just telling you, I'm thirsty as hell. You know how hot it was yesterday?
It's very hot.
And it's going to be even hotter.
So you damn right. It's gonna
I'm going
to
get me some free vitamin water.
They spend $500,000 a year just on smart water.
They're not going to miss them three I take a day.
They're not going
to miss them. They're three a day that I take.
Got to stay hydrated.
But no, the craziest thing, because usually where we're at now, it's a hump. And by the time it's like 1 o'clock, they locked the bathrooms and everything. But the funniest thing was, so I went down there because we replayed Ross. So I said, I'm going to run down the bathroom and come back. And I was like, well, maybe they got some lunch. Didn't have no food there, but they had an apple.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a while since I've ate an apple. And so I'm walking over and I'm eating the apple. And your ass says, what about the apple? Is that a what?
Oh, I see you got a Granny Smith.
He said, do I got a Granny Smith? I looked at you like, what the hell are you talking about? Are you talking to me, Gordo, or are you talking to Bo back here?
Talking to you.
I had no clue that you could tell what kind of apple is an apple by just looking at it.
I mean, what?
How could you
tell?
You
think every apple looks the same?
Yeah.
But that one was green.
Okay, so all green?
That's just the easiest one to tell.
That's the easiest one. Okay. Because there's only one green apple,
I don't
really
know that.
Well, there's it.
I never. The way you said it with such confidence, and then my ass, I was like, yeah. Like, I knew what it was. I'm like, oh.
It's a Granny Smith.
I never heard nobody know what an apple is.
We had a side conversation about apples when spawned off of your Granny Smith apple eating.
And yes. Then I got one. I hadn't had a Granny Smith in a long time.
Like, great, yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah.
It was a nice change up.
I don't understand how the hell you would know that. Off the top, you said, and that's why I looked at you like, yeah.
I just, like, how would anyone know anything, you know?
A Granny Smith apple.
Can you look at, like, a car and see what kind of car it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. So all green apples are Granny Smith?
Yeah. That color of green apple, the one that you had, is a Granny Smith apple. Like, if you would have had, like, a red apple, I probably wouldn't have known exactly what it was.
A little more difficult without looking up close.
Wow. Yeah, because most of the apples are red or, like, various, you know, whatever. Yeah, like, a little red, maybe a little yellow in there or
some
something.
Spots.
Yeah. Some spots, you know. But, yeah, the green one, that's it's a Granny Smith apple.
Now I know. Did not have
How'd you like
clue.
It?
Huh?
How'd you like it?
It was cool.
Yeah, Granny Smith apples are good.
Yeah.
It was a little sour.
Yeah, real a little tart. A nice tart.
That's what he said. He said, is it tart?
Because if it isn't, then again, I don't like how I'm being portrayed.
I'm not portraying you as nothing.
You're making my voice sound funny.
I'm making you sound.
You're making me sound weird for knowing what apples are. I know stuff.
I'm cool.
About apples.
I'm not saying nothing.
Right?
I've never heard.
I'm an apple guy.
I've never heard anybody call an apple by its name.
What do you see me do at the end of the show every
you
day?
You have an apple.
I eat an apple.
Okay.
I'm an apple guy.
There you go. Right? There's nothing wrong with that.
I know
that.
What trees are when I look at them sometimes.
Because you study them.
I like them.
You know what
I like them.
And you like trees.
I love them.
Yes.
I want to be one someday.
And we know this.
And I might be one.
We know this.
Depending on how it goes.
Yeah, we know this. You love trees, love nature, love forests.
Okay. So don't be surprised when I know stuff about them.
I've heard people call trees trees. I've heard you call trees trees.
Yeah.
Right? We've been out of the studio enough at places where trees, I've heard you call trees trees.
I'm just saying,
trees.
Set your expectation level.
I never heard you call an apple the name.
For me knowing what type of fruits I'm eating.
Never heard anyone call the apple the actual name of the apple.
Until yesterday. And now here we are.
And there we go. So yeah. I'm going to start, what's the name again?
What?
The apple called?
I'm not telling you. Because I don't like this. Something about your little smirk and the tone of your voice makes me feel like I'm being made fun of for knowing about apples.
How can you make fun of somebody because they know the name of an apple?
I don't know, but I'm feeling sensitive about it.
I think that's very skillful. I think that's very skillful.
My apple knowledge feels like it's on trial here.
Why?
I don't like it. I don't know.
Is there certain oranges?
Yeah, there's all kinds of different types of oranges.
Yeah, okay. Somebody just said you got to take me apple picking. No.
I bet apple picking.
That'd be fun.
Apple picking is super fun in the fall.
What the hell is fun about picking apples?
No difference in going like the pumpkin patch, except you're actually going to where they grow. Pumpkin patches are not pumpkin patches.
I also love going to the
pumpkin patch. Hold on. What pumpkin patch are they?
Pumpkin patches you see up on the side of the road where it's just pumpkins laid out in somebody's yard. That's not a pumpkin
patch. I know that, but I'm just saying.
We go to Burt's. It's a pumpkin patch. Now, they generally pick them from the patch and bring them to a central location.
I don't go to patches, right?
Going to Burt's is up there in like Dawsonville.
Yeah, right. I don't.
It's one of my favorite days of the year.
Yeah, I don't go to patches. And I don't pick nothing but my nose. Right? Okay, so yeah, I'm not doing that. I don't want to go.
Apple picking's fun.
How is it fun? take an apple off a tree?
I don't know. It's like that. It's just like
just
this.
Reach over, take an apple.
Yeah, like, oh, look at that apple. And then you pick it, and then, you know what? Let's wipe it. Don't eat it first, because they put some stuff on it.
Right.
There. Wipe it, maybe get it a little clean, and then, oh, so fresh apple.
Don't see the amusement.
Most apple orchards that you can go pick stuff at, they actually cook stuff with the apples, like pies. And
oh, you get some apple bread. One of my favorite apple orchards is called Barber's Orchard. It's up right outside of Waynesville. We go all the time, and they make a really nice apple cake. It's delicious.
I lost all damn my heart, man.
I'm saying. It's a great fall activity.
And I'm not going to go there with the brothers. Don't do that. Because I know brothers pick stuff, okay?
Yeah.
They pick apples and oranges and stuff like that.
Careful.
Careful with that one. Because there was some picking that we didn't want to do. But no, I know all sorts of people do that. Yeah. I just don't see the amusement of just picking apples.
It's just, you know, you're out there. You're out there. It's fall.
Right.
You put flannel on, you know? Anything that requires me to wear flannel, you know I'm already going to like anyway.
Yes, yes.
I guess counting down the days until I can get to that part of my closet. you know, my wife's got those high brown boots on, you know?
Yes,
she probably has a pumpkin spice latte. It's just, it's
refreshing.
It's just a real nice Saturday.
I believe that you enjoy. I'm not saying you enjoy it. I'm just trying because they've been trying to get me to do this for years.
Talking about me knowing about apples.
Because I know my wife. They've been trying to get me to pick stuff for years. Apples, pumpkins.
Yeah, come on.
Andy, I flew to Hawaii to go to a damn pineapple farm.
I did know that.
Yeah. Okay. Doles.
Doles.
The pineapple farm.
You know they sell those in Publix.
Damn Hawaii.
Yeah.
So I've been to those farms. I went to the farm, but. Like, but they can't get me to go up the street to the pumpkin patch.
It's really fun.
No.
Hayride?
What the hell am I going to ride on hay?
You ever been to the corn maze?
Apple cider?
Have I been to where?
The corn maze. Corn mazes are fun.
What?
You can't pick anything there, but they got pumpkins.
Yeah.
And you go through a maze.
It's great.
Of corn.
I don't see it.
I'm just saying, come on. Well, I'll teach you about all kinds of different types of apples.
Can you see me and Andy, what our families that we're together, and Andy's like, see that, Randy? You see that apple right there? That's a
Cosmic Crisp.
You got a Braeburn.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Can you see that?
That one's a Honey Crisp.
It's a Gala.
That's a Washington apple.
Real quick, Miss Court, she gave us one. There's a high school drive this weekend at Southwest DeKalb, Saturday from 10 to 1 p.m. Thank you. Oh, so it's my boy. It's my man, Quincy Carter.
Oh, that's
it's his
awesome.
Foundation. Okay,
that's awesome.
Okay, it's QC's things, free school supply, and haircuts and ice cream.
Beautiful. Keep letting us know. We'll shout out as many as we can between now and the end of the show. Smoking Joe Patrick, certified apple guy, going to join us next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The details behind the Diddy indictment: Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Funk Friday. Final couple segments for us. I do want to remind you, we've said this a few times throughout the show, and thanks to everybody for sending them over. If you know about a back-to-school event going on this weekend, tomorrow, Sunday, whatever, even next week, let us know on Twitter, at TBM929, at RandyMac81. We'll shout it out and try to let everybody know about it so we can get these kids ready for back-to-school. Randy, get your backpacks. Get your binders, haircuts.
And she sent me, Miss Court sent me a better copy of the thing. It said, the Quincy Carter Foundation, Paul Kitts, and 1186 presents Back to School Bash, free school supplies, haircuts, and ice cream.
That's
going to be a live DJ and food trucks. And it's going to be at Southwest DeKalb High School on Sunday, not because a lot of stuff that we're getting is on Saturday. It's going to be on Sunday, July 27th from 10 to 1 p.m. So y'all go support my main man QC out there and all his people, man.
And if you know about others, let us know, and we'll shout them out before the show's over. And again, we'll do the same thing next week because I know school starts Monday after next for a lot of kids. So we'll do our best to do that. We'll get to an AMA coming up in 15 minutes. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. So start getting your questions ready for a Friday edition of the AMA. Let's get Smokin' Joe Patrick in here.
Quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts Andy and Randy at a combined 12 feet 3 inches and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Well, it was a little bit like back to school yesterday, Joe. Everybody back out there, first day of training camp. Fans were out there. They weren't last year, so that was nice, too. How are you?
I'm good. It was like the first day of school, but it's like the I don't know how you guys ever felt. I guess the first day of school, it was kind of was – maybe the Sunday scaries were the worst before the first day of school, but then once you got there, it was actually kind of fun to see everybody again. But, yeah, it's always like a festive day, you know, for the start of training camp. I actually, you know, honestly, for me, it's just like when you're parked, you know, and you're kind of just walking to the facility with all the fans, like that's kind of what gets my juices flowing at the start of the day early in the morning, just to see everybody pumped up for it. And it's just good to see fans back out there again after they obviously weren't able to be out there last year.
What were some of the good things that you saw today, Joe? Because we know that we've talked at nauseam about it, that, you know, the first thing that the quarterback came out and said was he wanted to get the fact that we're going to get the ball to Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I think that's music to a lot of Falcons fans' ears. And it was really good to see it kind of like backed up on the field after Raheem Morris, who spoke to media ahead of the practice, had kind of alluded to the fact that the coaches had been putting their heads together over the course of the offseason as to how we can get the best out of this obviously very talented player. And, you know, kind of get this monkey off his back, so to speak, that's frankly kind of been hanging over him since he had the great rookie year that set expectations up for himself. But Raheem Morris in that press conference talked about, you know, how do we better utilize him? And what we ended up seeing in the practice was him being used in some more kind of split out roles than what he was last year. Last year, they used him a lot as a traditional inline tight end because this was a very 11 personnel team. That's kind of the role that this tight end played. And I think that what we're starting to see, and, you know, whether this comes to fruition once the games actually start is to be determined, but we're starting to see, you know, them use maybe a little bit more two tight end sets. Again, Raheem Morris alluded to that before. And then we saw Kyle Pitts like split out there as a wide receiver and catching passes. He was even doing individual drills with the wide receivers during practice yesterday. And I think that he'll probably split his time maybe during training camp between doing some wide receiver drilling and doing some tight end drilling. And he also worked like individually with Kevin Coger, the tight end coach, later on in the practice. But, you know, good to hear. And then Penix afterwards, after the practice, to your point there, Randy, like he was talking about, yeah, getting the ball to him, but also talking about how they want to get him in matchups where he can win. And they I think Penix really feels like if they can get him in the right kinds of matchups, he's not going to be shy in delivering him that football. And I think they all have confidence that he can come down with those catches.
And Penix seemed like he had confidence in everything, which is great. That's what you want. He's very talented. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can answer questions on the first day of training camp. And he went right at all of it. I love the way that he talked about Pitts. I love that he said, yeah, we want to be the best offense in football. That's what the expectation is. Were you I don't want to say surprised, but like what did you make of the way that he came out firing yesterday?
Well, when he said, you know, we should be the best offense in football, I in my head I thought, hell yeah, this is the first day of training camp. That's exactly what you say. I saw CeeDee Lamb saying that, you know, like we could beat anybody, you know, like all these players around the league. This is like when confidence is the absolute
high. One of the guys from the Bears said, we're trying to build a dynasty.
Dynasty.
Like, dang, all right. You guys haven't been in the playoffs in a decade.
But you do like to hear it. I mean, yeah, sure. In all honesty, like you want to have your quarterback thinking that way. And I got to say, I think the part of what Penix said that was kind of most encouraging to me was a question asked to him about the scheme and Zach Robinson and trying to, you know, and there was some conversation about, you know, Zach trying to, like, you know, ask Penix and kind of have a dialogue with Penix as to what he's comfortable with and what he can go on. And Penix is like, you know, I've had those conversations with Zach. I say, Zach, just call the play. Call whatever play you think is best. We'll run it. We'll execute that play. And that to me is like, that is really confidence. Like you can say you're confident, but then to express it in that kind of way where you're just being perfectly honest and open with the media in this case, about just wanting the play caller to call whatever he thinks is the best play available in a given situation. And, you know, the quarterback being the one who's leading the team in order to be able to execute those plays, you know, that's really what you want to see. And I think that is, you know, there's, again, Michael Penix, he's not really a talker. He's not one of these guys who's going to kind of fake the confidence. And that response that he gave right there to me was just evidence of him being perfectly honest in the confidence that he really does have in himself and his ability to lead this offense in the way they execute.
So who was the first team front line for the defense?
Well, it's so hard to tell right now, Randy, because there's so many potential bodies that they can use in some of those situations. And I think that they're still just, you know, after one day of training camp, they really seem to be mixing things around.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious when they called out the ones who was the first frontline guys out there.
Yeah, I think it was, well, David Onyemata, Ruka Roro, were definitely in there. I saw Taquan Graham kind of mixing around with the ones and twos. Again, the ones and twos, like, together were kind of all kind of getting rotated. So we saw, like, Arnold Ebiketie, Leonard Floyd playing with both the ones and the twos. We saw lots of different combinations. And that's going to be fascinating to see how all of that plays out over the course of this training camp. Because we talk about position battles, and in this case, it's not like, you know, a lot of these guys are going to make the team ultimately, but it's like, how does the playing time kind of get distributed between a lot of those guys? And I think that they will depend on a lot of these second-year players and younger players to be, you know, eating up a bulk of that playing time, especially up front.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the stories. We talked about it yesterday, was a lot of rookies, a lot of second-year guys. Some of the second-year guys haven't even played yet. Obviously, a first year, at least with this group, defensive coordinator as well. Is kind of youth or inexperience or whatever word you want to use, is that part of the thing that you're looking at story-wise from the defense?
Yeah, but I think that there's a potential for I think the natural the natural thing you would say is that they are inexperienced and that's going to kind of be a negative. But I actually think it could turn out, like, the youthfulness could turn out to be a positive. And we've seen Raheem Morris have success with that model before in his last year with the Rams, where, you know, they had a ton of rookies on that defense and he actually got them to play really well. I'm interested to know how exactly he was able to do that, because it is a very long year for rookies in particular. In this case, you have a lot of second year players, so they're not kind of dealing with all that rookies typically have to go through, especially when I'm talking about like up front, especially. But, you know, I think that, you know, the youth can actually play to their advantage, where they're more mobile, they're more dynamic, they're better able to chase down some of these mobile quarterbacks that we're going to see, and we're going to see the Falcons face throughout the year. I just think that there are some actual positive trade-offs to having a younger group. Of course, there will be some negatives in that respect, just in terms of the experience and the ability to do certain things. But I just think that there are some other trade-offs that are actually going to help this Falcons defense, and especially in terms of getting the quarterback and creating turnovers.
This is great. This is how you know that training camp is back and football is back. There's stuff that we didn't get to ask Joe about because we ran out of time.
Mm.
Whereas the last couple of weeks, it was like, what the hell are we going to ask Joe about?
Exactly, yeah.
That's great. Well, we'll talk to you next week, Joe, obviously, as training camp continues. Thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
Thanks, guys.
Smokin' Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game, Falcons reporter. You could also check out his podcast on the 92.9 The Game YouTube channel.
Yep.
Joe Patrick on football, what?
No, I got to go get my pork chops out of the refrigerator. I left them here Wednesday.
Oh.
I was like,
you can still eat them.
You think I ain't when I am?
Okay, good.
Well, I'm about to go find some grease up in the bike. I was like, hold on.
It'd be amazing if you found that here.
Pork chops are still here.
That's great.
Yeah, man.
Go warm them up. Go warm them up. All right, we'll come back and get to an AMA. Oh, they're raw? Oh, I didn't realize. I thought they were leftover pork chops. Okay, don't warm them up then. Don't do that. AMA is next. 404-726-0929. Load the phone lines up on a Friday. Do it. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
AMA to wrap the show up. every single day here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com.
All right. Easy wants to know how to get pork chops here. Well, what happened was is because a lot of times on Wednesdays I'll go grocery shopping on the way to work, so I get the bush and everything like that. And so usually if I pick up some meat or something, I'll bring and put it in the refrigerator.
Makes sense.
Everything else I'll leave in the car because I want to leave the meat in there. And I forgot it. I got all the way home, took everything out, and was like, forgot the main thing. And so I was like, well, I get tomorrow. Damn.
We weren't here yesterday.
Yeah. So, yeah, there they go. But, yeah, they might go get greased up right now.
They were in there.
Yeah, they were in there chilling.
And they're fine.
Yeah, they were in there chilling.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to cook them up today.
You would have been so furious if somebody would have taken those pork chops.
Man, if somebody ever took some raw pork chops, they deserve to be took.
That'd be a wild.
That'd be a wild.
Wild man. Theft.
And somebody come take your pork chops.
Yeah, it was just a pack of pork chops, uncooked pork chops
uncooked
in there.
Uncooked pork chops in there.
Somebody took them home.
You never know.
Chuck is in Atlanta. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Sir Randy, I've seen live pro basketball and baseball players mentally check out during games. That's sad, but it happens. I love baseball. I love the Braves. The Braves have more team-friendly contracts than most teams. My AMA is this. Can you all get an acronym that translates to the Braves in truth, like strikes per maybe $100,000 or men left on base per $100,000 or wild pitches or errors per $100,000, something that translates to the Braves. Because what I'm seeing versus what I'm being told is very different. I'd rather see our gang and Spanky win than the Lou Gehrig Yankees lose.
Right.
And one more thing. Tell me what Greg Maddux's spin rate was, or Chipper Jones' hard hit rate was, or Andrew Jones getting to baseballs that's not normally out. Tell me what those factors are, and I might feel better. Y'all have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks. All right, you too, Chuck.
All right, Chuck.
I have no clue what Chuck's talking about.
He's saying.
And I love Chuck. When Chuck hit that one more thing, I was like, oh, hell.
Because there's so many team-friendly contracts,
mm-hmm.
maybe the bad performances that they're having would make you feel better because it's cheaper. Like if you're batting .215, but you're not making any money, it's like the same thing as if you were batting .285, but you were making more money. Like hits per dollar, I think is what he was looking for.
Oh, okay.
Kind of.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Chuck, call back money, Chuck. Call back money. I don't know.
I would say, because he started off with like checked out and stuff. I don't think anybody's checked out.
No.
I just think
they're bad.
They're not good.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's it.
And a lot of the, you know, the pitchers are hurt. I think that's part of it too. But yeah, man, I don't know.
I don't know.
Walter's in Atlanta. Hey, Walter.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Walter.
But Randy, if y'all were talking about Greg Maddux, who was peeing on, was it Chipper Jones' leg or something like that?
Yeah, that's the story.
Yeah.
That's the story. Okay, Randy, I know you got to be like the coolest person to be in the locker room because you had to have been like away from all of that kind of mess. Have you been around like players that like, what was some other guy? I couldn't get my question right. Damn it.
You got it, Walter.
Thanks.
Take a breath. You're good. Oh,
okay.
Did he hang up? Well, I think maybe he was going to ask what's the craziest stuff you were around.
There was a rule in every locker room I've ever been in. Don't be playing naked. All right? That is a rule.
That's a good rule.
Don't be playing naked.
What
man.
A good
all right?
rule.
That's all the rule. Don't be playing naked, man. All right? I'm sorry. We're a bunch of grown-ass men,
yeah,
man. Don't be playing naked.
That seems like...
Yeah, that was that. I mean, that was...
Seems
that,
like a really good rule.
Yeah. Don't, I mean, because you're... Because, yeah.
And we don't need that here, but can we just institute it anyway?
Yeah.
In case
yeah.
anybody guys getting any that, funny ideas around yeah, here.
That is the rule. Now, cause, no,
92.9 the game
like,
rule,
again,
too.
Again, I ain't never really seen, like, we would play, like, we play pranks on each other. Like, I mean, they put the damn, the Tiger Bomb, and, like, Tiger Bomb's it was something other than Tiger Bomb. It's something, it's like Ben Gay, but, like, 4,000 times worse.
Okay, so like really strong.
Yeah. They did some stuff with socks.
Muscle rub,
they did
whatever.
Socks and stuff like that would mess with the rookies. But like far as like Bali Fluis, no. I ain't never, ever heard no crap like that. We didn't do that kind of stuff. But yeah, that was number one. Don't be playing naked.
Don't be playing naked?
Mm-mm.
Come on.
Mm-mm.
Don't do that.
Mm-mm.
I do think, again, having not played any professional sport, but covered all of them, the baseball locker room is a uniquely different place.
Yes.
Baseball clubhouse, locker room, whatever just sort of seems to breed stranger behavior than a football or basketball locker room. The baseball locker room, at least the ones that I was in and covered, a much more naked place in general than the football and basketball.
No, I mean, you see, like, very naked. There was nobody more naked as far as teammates that I've ever had than Torrey Holt. And Torrey was always Torrey.
But he wasn't playing.
Torrey would walk through the locker room. Everybody in the locker room, media, people, everything. Torrey had the furthest locker away from the showers and would walk straight through there. Like, Torrey got a game ball standing in his locker in Arizona.
Nude.
All right. So, yeah.
But that's one guy, right? Yeah, and this kind of stands out.
Don't play
for whatever reason, the baseball locker room is much more, again, in my experience, football players tend to at least try with a towel.
Yeah.
Basketball players would get dressed before they came out and talk to us for the most part. Baseball players,
didn't matter.
Just a lot of. A lot of full frontal.
Yep.
Ed is in Lawrenceville. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Andy. And, you know, really Randy. A close second is the Red Delicious apple as the most recognizable as well.
So, Yeah, exactly.
So, hey, you guys mentioned trout fishing earlier. So my question to you is, okay, so a number of years ago, I'm hiking in Tennessee with my kids, 10, 7, and 5. And we stop for a break. You know, so my wife gets a snack for the kids. I throw my line in the water, and I catch a little rainbow trout. You know, about 6 inches. I reel it in. The kids are like, ooh, ah, you know, look how beautiful it is. And, you know, we go to let it go. And the stream's only about 12 feet wide or 15 feet wide, and there's like a stork or a heron over there. So I go to let the, you know, fish go. And as you guys know, after the fish is out of water for a little bit, it takes a while to swim.
Right.
That stork or bird takes like 3 LeBron Euro steps across the water, grabs that fish, throws it in the air, and swallows it whole in front of my 3 kids and my family.
Are they traumatized?
The boys burst into cheers.
Oh no!
And my wife and daughter burst into tears.
It was
unbelievable watching that thing go down the neck of that bird. So my question to you guys is there anything that's happened in your family with the kids or your immediate family where, you know, grandma's teeth come out or something at Thanksgiving?
Thank you, Ed. Great question.
The family reacts differently.
Oh, great question. Great question. I tried to prevent it, but couldn't. I saw Boone dismantle a chipmunk.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, move that.
That was just me.
Yeah.
And that was traumatizing for me.
Right.
But it's fine. So I told you about the baby raccoons that were in the trees, right? And shout out to one of our listeners who hooked me up with a lady who comes and gets them, takes them elsewhere. I don't think she found them. She tried, couldn't find them. There's been a lot of hawks in the neighborhood recently, though.
They've been getting fooled.
And I'm pretty sure those raccoons got handled by the hawks.
Yeah.
But like, you know, the kids are like, oh, where are the raccoons at? I don't know. I think they moved. I think they went somewhere else. Not sure. You know, at some point they'll. Boone almost got a rabbit in the backyard one time. Luckily, I grabbed him and the rabbit went under the fence and Jack and Lily were back there. That wouldn't have been fun at all.
Yeah.
And then the other day we were driving to the doctor's office. We were on the freeway and one of those giant trucks had all the chickens in it. It must have been like a. You know, they're taking it somewhere, you know?
Right.
And Lily was like, well, look at all those chickens. Where are they going? And we're stuck in traffic. It was bumper to bumper on 285. So we were next to that chicken truck for like 30 minutes.
Right.
And she was like, are they going on a field trip? I was like, yep.
Yep. And
all those chickens are going on a field trip.
Yep. And they're going to be at Uncle Randy's house sooner rather than later.
And yours. Like, they haven't made that connection yet, though. Like, those chickens are also chicken nuggets.
Yes.
Someday they'll know.
Someday, you know. Remember those nuggets you had yesterday?
That's where they're going.
They're their cousins right there.
They're going on a field trip to our freezer.
They're their cousins right there.
Yeah, but that happens, man. You get out there. You get out there in nature. Kids are going to see some nature. Les is in East Point. Hey, Les.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Hope y'all are having a good Friday.
Love you, Les.
I got a question for you, Andy.
Yeah.
Do they lock you in a private room to do those Blue Chew commercials? Because there ain't no way You're doing that in front of Randy.
No, I usually leave.
We're talking about picking apples and rolling around the hay.
Yes, I usually leave.
Randy's gone sometimes, but then other times if I have a really good one, you'll hear Randy laugh in the background.
Yes, you hear that sometimes.
That's always my favorite. Like if I make Randy, Bo, or Abe laugh, I feel like I've done a good job. But no, I'm right in here. Yesterday I did one, and they kept the speaker on.
Yes.
And we were at training camp, and there was a couple security guards that were like, what's this guy talking about? and I will be honest
with
you.
The lady at the Bears, she was over there smiling.
She was like, what is he talking about?
Does she know what he's talking about?
Yeah, because I was like, how's your sex life?
Yeah,
like,
and she turned and looked. I was like, oh.
Maybe there's somebody in her life that needs a little blue chew.
You never know.
She might have gone to the website and used promo code Andy.
You never know.
There's a lot of favorite parts of this job. I love almost every part of it. Currently, the Blue Chew live reads might be the number one seed.
Like, oh, no doubt.
It's my favorite thing I get to do every single day. And they pay me for it, which is insane. Dan is in Roswell. Hey, Dan.
What's going on, fellas? I hope y'all having a great Friday.
We are.
Randy, yes. And both of y'all can answer this, man. Randy, shout out to you, brother. I don't know if you've been a football coach, you know, since you've been retired or whatever, and I know you're not fond of people because I'm the same way. But how much patience am I supposed to have, and how much patience do you have as a coach? Because I'm about 3 shakes away from telling this dad about himself, or you keep coming to me about your child's playtime, and I'm trying to just eliminate from telling you, he just ain't got it, brother. Dude, he just ain't got it.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? So how far should I spare him, Randy, or not, brother? Let me know.
I appreciate
it. Thank you, Dan.
I like damn people, okay? I just don't like being around them, okay? It's a big difference, okay? It's a big difference. I like people. Just don't like being around them. This is my thing right here. Because I have a son who's playing football. I was out there. They had the first pads on yesterday. My son's still learning how to play football. So there are some things that he's just not good at yet. But basically, the more reps he does. And that's what irritates the hell out of me about these kids is that I'm telling you something and you keep on saying, I know. No, you don't know. Mm. Okay? No, you don't know.
Yeah.
All right? Listen to me. I will have you playing good. But so the coaches, they discipline them like Samson, get your butt up. Samson, you got – and I got no problem with that because Samson is learning and all those things. Now, when it comes to the parents, that's why I got a problem because I sit up there and I'm watching my son. I understand that my son's first year tackle football, he's getting familiar with and everything. I got no problem with him, but he's going to play because he's big as everybody and he's strong as everybody. We've got technique to work with Samson. But I see them other kids out there, and I be sitting up in them stands with them daddies who I be like, I'm looking at the kid like, damn, he's sorry as hell. But it's like, but then the dad be like, well, I don't know why he'll put my boy in. I'm sitting there like, damn, I can only imagine what that coach thinking.
You're like, I do.
Because after practice,
I know why.
After practice, his daddy's always wanting to walk over there with the coach.
Right.
So I'm just like, now I know my son is not where he needs to be, but he's going to get there. It's in the blood. He's going to be fine. Other than he know everything. I said, son, you got beat 3 times. On the inside. The guy beat him 3 times on the inside rush. I was like, Samson, you got to shut it out. I know. No, you don't, son.
Yeah, it's always a tough response from somebody. No, you don't.
But now, if you're talking about the daddy, daddy always going to be daddy. Parents are always parents. I don't coach no more because of that reason right there. When that woman said, well, he was good in middle school. He a senior. He don't play because he ain't good. Lady, all right, he ain't good.
We're not trying to hurt the team.
I know you're trying to get a scholarship. I know you want him to get a scholarship, go to college.
Might want
to
focus on science.
Might want to focus on something else, all right?
I coached high school golf for a couple of years. I never had one even interaction with parents
because
we were so bad.
Yep.
No one had any expectations. So that would be my advice.
Yes.
Coach a terrible team.
Yeah.
No, then everybody knows.
Don't do that.
We had 2 wins my second year, and I won Coach of the Year. The rest of the coaches were shocked. They're like, how did he do it? What's his secret?
How did you do it? Were y'all on the team?
I don't
know. Or did you show up?
Yeah, we showed up. I got them. We got the first time ever they had polo shirts and jackets, so they were a little more confident.
Uh-huh.
And some of the other teams are really bad, too. We just, I don't know, we got lucky. I don't know what it was.
Really?
We went 2-8, and I won Coach of the Year. I still have the plaque. Very proud. Low standards.
I might have been mad too.
Low? No, you wouldn't have been.
2-8, and you win Coach of the Year?
Well, yeah, but they were 0-10 the year before. Progress is in the right direction, man.
Two game improvement.
We didn't get kicked off any courses. You know, most of the courses didn't even want us to come before I became the coach. Had them headed in the right direction, but then I had to quit. Had to pursue radio, Randy.
Had to pursue
radio. Got a full-time radio producer job. 32. That 32K was calling me, so I had to go. All right, let's get to takeaways of the day.
It was calling you.
That 32K.
How was your speech?
Health benefits.
How was the speech to your girls?
yeah, you guys go see some Fergie. That's what I said. No, I don't know. The season was over.
No.
I just texted the AD and I was like, hey, I got a full-time job. You're going to have to find a new golf coach. She was like, oh, all right. Have fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of pageantry.
Oh, man. Andy is an Apple guy and he's counting down the days till he can wear flannel.
I really am. Really am. Randy would like to call a woman a stone cold fox.
Stone cold fox.
I can't believe that y'all think that people would get offended by that these days. Would they? Do they?
I think people get offended by everything.
Yeah, that's good. Cool. Kids these days don't know nothing about no car wash, and they sure as hell don't know nothing about no Sydney Poitier.
Poitier.
All right, have a great weekend. Safe, we'll talk to you Monday.
Stay hydrated.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.